a question about sort of like understanding what the primary and the secondary qualities of something are. It's talking about the talking about the sign that's sort of present in the sensory data that sort of calls out that this object is what it is, and then sort of where, you know, what is, I'm kind of curious of what some examples would be like, because I'm just kind of looking at the floor and the wood, and I'm wondering, you know, would the, say, the wood grain itself be sort of the initial sort of primary sort of identifier that this is wood, and then, you know, secondary qualities, you know, if there were any thoughts about, you know, what kind of wood it was, or, you know, and onward, you know, do I like this kind of wood, and onward, would that be sort of...
To some extent, that's my...
It's been a little confusing to me, like, what's the difference between signs and features, you know, in the translation too. But that, and I think what Venerable Nalyo was saying leads to that, that, you know, on a more graphic description, or say, you know, like attraction to somebody, you know, like sensual attraction. You see something that seems, the initial take is something that seems attractive, like, you know, like in the case of that suitor of Suba the nun, you know, it was her eyes that he was attracted to. So that's like the initial sign is some, say, physical feature that that brings up, you know, a sense of delight. And then it's that further, like, moving into and examining, you know, oh, nice eyes, nice face, nice person, nice, you know, that kind of elaborates, proliferates, and moves into it. But I've never been absolutely clear if that's exactly what the difference between signs and features is. If anybody else has any thoughts on that.
My understanding, the thing to note is that initial sign is just, something strikes you as either positive or negative, and then part of the habit of our distorted thinking is that as soon as we pick that up, and then we start looking for things that reinforce our perception, and we will preferentially by far perceive the things that support that initial perception. So I can, you know, so gosh, I've done it so many times. For some reason, I will take a position in an argument, and even though I had no particular commitment to that, once I take it, I will then figure out all the reasons to support it. Even though, you know what? It's
even though you could easily be convinced that it wasn't a great one to start with.
Yeah, exactly. And I could have just as easily flipped to the other perspective. And that you have no idea why that you initially did it, but you commit to it and... Ugh.
Yeah, it's the underlying tendency to whatever that kind of rises, picks up, and grabs it. You know, and like in the case of sensual attraction, it's sensual desire. You know, it's like that's what comes and says, "Oh, I'm interested. I'm going to attend to this in a way that, you know, really, you know, satisfies or increases or plays on that sensual desire." You know, so that's where inappropriate attention comes. It just kind of, it's there, you know, underlying tendency, and it rises up and it just goes right out to, you know, get involved with the object and make it even more than it really is, just to keep it going. Yeah, John.
One way I've interpreted this sort of sign features is like, you're eating something, and, you know, if you pay attention to the taste or the textures, you know, it'll have certain features to it, but then, like, there'll be like this sort of, once like there's a certain association made, then there's a sign of, oh, this is like, you know, like this in the past, like delicious or homey or whatever. And it's kind of, it feels mental. It doesn't feel like I don't know, that's the way I describe it, just my experience. It feels mental, that side feels mental, as opposed to the actual taste or the textures or smells.
Yeah, they feed back on each other and support each other, the physical and the mental. Yeah, it's a very powerful process that we all find ourselves involved with. It's kind of...
And it also sifts out conveniently neglects other things.
Right. Yeah. It's very specialized.
Yes. I was listening to Ajahn Sucitto teaching forest refuge retreat. So he says you've got 30 meditators in the room, but you single out one particular meditator, and then you don't notice like his or her, you know, clothes, the way they walk, what they eat. It's just like, if that man sniffs again, I'm going to go over and slug him. It's like, so you've like spotlighted this particular person, but in that you've completely neglected every single person.
Everything else.
Yeah. He said it's like you have a search engine out, which is the underlying tendency of your aversion, just like wants to hone it.
That's right. Yeah. Completely ignoring everything else. It's, you know, I think that's probably one of the reasons why the Buddha said that even with no internal factor more supportive to realization of the teachings than appropriate attention. You know, how to learn how to appropriately attend to sense data.